This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's the final hour of power here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. It's the youngest in charge. Lynnell Willingham taking you up to 10 o'clock. Wizards basketball underway right now. 10:34 left to go. In the final frame, Washington trailing 88-87 to the Brooklyn Nets. We'll keep you up to speed on that one as we reach the finish line. Wizards being outscored 29-20 here in the second half. It's a valiant effort in the first half. I think the defensive intensity from this group continues to ratchet itself up. Defensively, man, I highlighted it at the top of the show. They've been doing a really good job the last couple of games, last two games in particular on defense. They're holding Brooklyn to 42% shooting from the field. Like, that's not something that's super easy to do. Granted, it's Brooklyn. Not a very good team. They suck. Let's just be real about it. But the fact that you're seeing the gradual improvement, I think, is what is important about this for the second half of the season for the Washington Wizards. So I am excited to see how they finish. I've been very open saying I don't want them to win this basketball game. Oh, Corey Kispert getting to the cup. I don't want them to win this basketball game. I don't. They've already done enough. This is already considered a win for me because of how close the score is, how well they've defended. Like, I don't know how much more you can ask for if you are the Wizards, and they're continuing to give you good on-ball defense. I mean, the effort is... Here's why I'm going to... Ooh. That was potentially a nasty fall. Wow. Here is why... Oh, that almost got chippy, didn't it? Here is why the effort is such a big talking point to me. I have been extremely vocal about my displeasure with the Wizards' effort. So now that they're actually competing at a level that I'm happy with, I got to give them praise for it. How do I not? Watching Bilal Kumbaya go, whoa. As Justin Champagne got pushed by Dayron Sharp, by Nick Claxton. And that is why Justin Champagne jumped in his mitt. And I love that about Justin Champagne. See? Marcus Smart, he's only been here for a week and a half. They're already ready to fight people. They're already getting tougher. I love this about this group. And I don't take that lightly. I'm not saying that to try to be funny. Like, I really mean that. There is a added toughness that this group has with these two new veterans. I think we're going to see it each and every night. And this was clearly a situation where Champagne was even like, okay, I probably overreacted. Did you see him try and grab his arm? Like, okay, I was doing too much. But I love this because it shows that chippiness, man. And that's what you love to see from this group. They're up one, 9:24 left to go in the fourth quarter. I mentioned I want to get to the Terps. The Maryland Terrapins, right now, let's just go to it so I can be official in what I'm saying. AP Men's Top 25 poll, another installment of that was released earlier today. And the Terps find themselves, once again, in the top 25. They're up four spots this week as the number 16th ranked team in the country. This is the thing to me that's really exciting for Maryland. This is the start of something special, I think. And I'm going to be in attendance Wednesday night at Xfinity Center when they play host to, where did Michigan State come in ranked this week? Eighth-ranked Michigan State. So they're hosting eighth-ranked Michigan State coming up on Wednesday in this Big Ten conference has five teams within the top 20. The Big Ten's got five teams within the top 20. Michigan State, Wisconsin, Maryland, Michigan, Purdue. Like, it's a really good conference, and for Maryland to be competing this way, I think is awesome. Here's the reason I think they could be potentially destined for a Final Four run. They're not overly reliant upon one guy or one way to win. Does that make sense? Like, they can, they obviously got big Derek Queen, who they could dump the ball down to inside, and he's got post moves, and he can create for others. He's tremendous on the inside. Him and Julian Reese, I think, make up one of the better front courts in the country right now. But the other thing to me is this. The reason I really do think Maryland has a shot to make the Final Four is they have all of the necessary recipe for success to win in March. They defend their ass off because that is just what Kevin Willard-led teams do. They've got multiple guys at the guard spot that can go get a bucket for you. Rodney Rice, Gillespie. And then they can play inside-out basketball. They're shooting the three as well as anybody in the country. Their ability to play inside-out is what I think is really going to help them in March. Here, if I had a concern, right, if I had a concern with this group, it'd be the lack of depth. I don't think their depth, if they get in foul trouble in the tournament, talking about Derek Queen or Juju Reese, I wonder how they are able to respond to it. And that, to me, is going to be the question. If they get in foul trouble in the tournament, can they get enough off the bench? Because it feels like, right, all your depth right now off of the bench in terms of the big man spot, do you really have any? Right? Do you really have any? Jordan Geronimo is really all you got. And do you consider him a real legit big? He's a four, yeah, but if DQ gets in foul trouble, I wonder what happens to this group. I will say this, though. I'm really, really excited as this group continues to move throughout the regular season. They play Michigan coming up next week as well. They're currently up one on Nebraska, but it's going to be an exciting finish to the end here for the Maryland Terrapins. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll get you another update on the Washington Wizards. Plus, there is a father of a projected top three pick in the draft that had some interesting comments about where his son shouldn't play. And let's just say it's messy. How's that for a tease? All that and more next here on The Fan.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's up 2 with 7:07 left to go in regulation over at Cap One Arena. The third game coming out of the All-Star break. They lost to Milwaukee Friday night by 2. They lost last night in Orlando by 20. Valiant effort, though, in that first half last night against the Magic, holding Orlando to just 39% shooting in the first half. And it feels like right now what we're seeing in real time is this team trying to learn how to win and close out basketball games. Like I said, I personally am literally rooting against them here down the stretch of this game. I've already seen what I needed to see from them in terms of the competitive nature in that first half, and the second half, and the third. Now it's about, are they going to make enough winning plays and get enough stops to close out this basketball game, as the offense seems to be getting tough here down the stretch with no Jordan Poole in the game. But look, as we move into the second half of the season, what I think becomes more important is the individual development of guys. Do we see Bub Carrington, who wants to fight everybody? And I love it, by the way. I don't mean that in a negative way either. He is just tough as nails and ain't taking no bleep from anybody, if that makes sense. Watching how those individual young pups get better. Bub, Keyshawn George, Alex Sarr out right now because of an ankle injury. I don't know how much longer he's going to be on the shelf. But, like, watching the individual growth and development of those guys is going to be huge. Bilal Coulibaly as well. Bilal's got 18 tonight on 6 of 11 shooting, and he's 3 for 4 from downtown. Like, that's the stuff to me that's going to be exciting. I think what we're also seeing, we saw this Friday against Milwaukee, they're shooting the ball really well. Like, right now, they're 12 of 29 from 3. They're shooting 50% from the field on 30 made field goals. So it's 26 assists on 30 made field goals for the Wizards. Like, they're sharing the ball and moving it offensively in just a super efficient way. And I'm really excited. And it feels like This is something that's sustainable. That's what's exciting about this. This is not just something that's new. This has been 11, 12 games of this. So I'm excited to see it. I hope. I hate that I'm actively rooting for them to lose. This sucks, okay? This is not fun, actively rooting for them to lose. But look, the development of the young cats is all that matters. I mentioned before we went to break that there was a certain NBA projected top three pick in the draft. His father had some interesting comments. I will read those comments for you coming up next here on Overtime. Are the Wizards going to be potentially at risk of one of the top three picks not wanting to come to D.C.? I think it may be our reality. Give you the deets on that next. This is The Fan. Oh, things getting testy in our nation's capital. Chris Middleton joining with a member of the Brooklyn Nets bench as the Wizards currently down one with 3:49 left to go in regulation. Brooklyn holds a 97-96 lead. It's been exciting to watch this group down the stretch, man. I mean, they're hustling, they're battling, they're competing. That last offensive possession, the ball gets swung to the corner to Chris Middleton. He takes the three, but it starts on the right wing, and it makes its way all the way to the left corner. So that type of ball movement, like Keyshawn George passed up a decent shot, Jordan Poole passed up a decent shot. Like, that, to me, is what it's all about. And credit to Brian Keefe for getting this group to play selfless and understand that, hey, we got to share it in order to win. Like, that to me is what this is all about, and one of those things that you can build on moving forward. So I'm excited about it, man. Like, they've showed a lot of good growth in this basketball game. I think one thing that I've noticed here, right, the communicating from Marcus Smart has been absolutely out of this world, as he just took a charge on offense and did the Shawn Michaels kip up as a reaction. Like, that's what we want to see, though. Like, that's why he's brought here. Those attitude winning type of plays, man. He just takes it personal on that end of the floor, man. He is a junkyard dog. Love him and Rashawn Holmes on the floor at the same time. You put me in a alley with those two, and we coming out on the other end. Seriously. I love the mentality. And I always got be cool driving hard. As Bilal scores his 20th point of the night. Wizards up one with 2:49 left in regulation. I mentioned I want to get to this story from David Aldridge of The Athletic. He wrote it on Friday. And the big point of this story was kind of showing the risk that Washington's taking right now, right? Tanking. The risk that they're taking by tanking, and how it's a better strategy than going out and chasing mediocrity. That's what it's about. That's what it's all about. And my question is, and we had a good conversation in the media room on Friday night, myself, Chase Hughes of the Monumental Sports Network, Bijan Todd of the Monumental Sports Network, and Josh Robbins of The Athletic were discussing this. Like, what is better? Tanking the way the Wizards are tanking or chasing 38 wins? And that is really the basis of what DA's story was about in The Athletic. DA always does good work, but this story caught my attention a little bit more than usual because of the reply that it had from under it. Underneath of David Aldridge's tweet, the first response that you see is from none other than Ron Harper, the father of Rutgers' projected top three pick, Dylan Harper. Ron Harper has been pretty vocal saying, hey, there are certain teams that my son won't play for. Ron commented under DA's story saying, I need to get a job out there. DA responds, I'm sure they'd love to employ you and any other members of your family, smiley face. And then Ron Harper replies, I bet I know more basketball than the front office. Wow. Doesn't seem like Dylan Harper is going to be wearing a Wizards uniform. We'll see. This is the risky thing about a rebuild and tanking. You kind of lose the credibility and respect of your front office. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. Mike Sando joins us next here on the Overtime. Right now, we go back out to the Rude Guest Hotline where we find one of my absolute favorites talking all things National Football League, our pal Mike Sando, who covers the NFL for The Athletic. You can give him a follow on the old X app at Sando_NFL. Mike, I appreciate you making some time for us, my friend.
Good to be here. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Feeling a lot better about the local 53, the Washington Commanders, after the salary cap increase was announced today. Mike, your tweet on this actually got audible chuckle out of me. What did you make of the cap rising, and how do you think it helps teams, if it does?
Well, it definitely helps to have it go up. You know, I think it probably went up a little bit more than they expected, so that's welcome news. I think if you're a, you know, if you're a team that's right around the the limit, and you're going to have maybe a little bit less maneuvering to do, right? There could be a handful of teams like that. But what I tweeted about it though was, hey, do you remember the last time, you know, that it made a record jump? Where were you? And you don't really remember, because as exciting as it seems to be when it happens, maneuvering the cap is not the hard thing to do. It's finding the right players to pay. Yeah. So even as we go into free agency now, the cap issues really aren't the big concern. It's that there's not enough good players available to feel great about what you're going to pay them, even if you have more cap room. So as long as you have good players, the cap never is a problem. Look, the Eagles have they're pretty highly leveraged. They have good players. The Saints are pretty highly leveraged. They don't have good players. That's why the Saints have a problem.
Right.
They have a cap problem, yes, but it's a player problem. If their bad contracts were in good players, they wouldn't be bad contracts.
Right.
Right? So that's just a thing to keep in mind is, you know, the cap gets used as a reason, as an excuse by owners or what they're doing or not. But it's, if you know how to get good players, you can pay them.
So Mike, let me ask you this, because I see the common thing that people assume, and I'm sure they're right in this assumption, is that it's going to drive some of the costs of these players up. Which position group do you think gets most impacted by the increase in the salary cap?
That's really just, you mean of players that are already signed?
No, I mean of like in free agency. It's going to drive some of these numbers up.
Yeah,
which position group do you think gets influenced the most?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I don't think there's good players out there. I mean, look, we're all think T. Higgins is on the list. Is he going to make it?
Yeah, right.
They may just tag him, right? So right. I think that the running back position in general has been depressed their numbers actually went down for a while. The franchise tag numbers actually got lower at one point. So I think that's one that we'll see grow off of some of the success some of those backs have had. But it depends who's available as well. So I think it's very case-by-case basis on the player. I don't know that a position's going to necessarily have a big run on it. We saw last year, like interior offensive linemen, some of those guys hit and got big money. So we could potentially see that again. There were guys making $20 million a year who played guard. So we'll see what happens. Kansas City has a guard and Trey Smith who may hit the market. So we could see a few like that. But I don't think that this is a big enough change to just reset everything.
Mike, one thing I've been asking our local audience here in D.C. is just how we view this Commanders offseason coming up. Third most cap space in the NFL, Mike, but you've got 29 unrestricted free agents. And if I'm being real, for them to overhaul the roster and retool it on the fly the way that they did last year, a lot of those contributors that you saw in the NFC title game were on one-year deals. You couple that with getting an elite guy at the quarterback position. I guess I'm asking, Mike, is last year's offseason success replicable for Washington when you think about how many one-year guys that they ultimately brought in?
Yeah, I don't know that they're going to try to do the exact same thing. I think what was interesting about Washington was, they came in to a situation where you could have decided, hey, we've got a long runway here. we can build this thing through the draft. And of course, they're going to try to do that, and they've had some good draft picks. But they also signed a lot of veterans to sort of get raise their floor, if that makes sense. Not everybody does that. Right. So I think that showed that, hey, they wanted to be good right away, and they were. So it, you know, now some of those guys are obviously going to be one-year rentals, or some of them won't be there. But I think you can still try to fill with some more of those types of guys. Probably fewer of them because they'll keep some of those guys that run one-year deals. Right. But I could see them, you know, continuing to try to, you know, maximize their ability to win now, especially now that they know Jaden Daniels is a good quarterback. I mean, they hoped they were going to get a good quarterback in the draft, but they didn't probably know how good it would go.
Right. So, do you anticipate them being aggressive in terms of spending when you consider the needs and then the free agent market when the league year opens up here in a couple of weeks?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think they were aggressive last year, but not in pushing the market with huge deals. They signed a lot of guys for more moderate deals, and I think we saw them show some restraint in other positions. You know, where people thought they might trade for this or that, they didn't always do that. I would not think that they're going to go wild in free agency. You know, is there someone you see out there that you think could be a huge high-dollar addition for them?
You know, it's interesting. I know wide receiver 2 is a spot that a lot of the fans here, Mike, want them to spend at. But I look at the Final Four and why those teams were there. It's because of the dominance on the interior on both sides of the football, improving in the trenches. I look at this offensive line class in free agency. Mike is an interesting group. You mentioned Trey Smith being at the top of the class. I don't think Baltimore has got the resources to keep Ronnie Stanley around. I look at Alaric Jackson out of L.A. with the Rams, Will Fries with Indianapolis. There seems like there are a lot of – and those guys that I listed too, Mike, are like 26, 27 years of age. I always have the old adage of like, well, they're free agents for a reason. So there's obviously some question marks and injuries with some of those guys. But I do expect them to be aggressive in trying to upgrade the trenches on both sides of the football. And I would say this free agent class, you know, lends itself to that.
That would make sense for them. I think a lot of people, you're right, last year thought, would they trade for a receiver, this sort of a thing. Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that. I think you start in the trenches. That being said, I thought their offensive line was one of the real pleasant surprises.
Yes.
So this past season, and that could just be how they decided to play as well. You know, the scheme, they were so pass happy the year before, right, just almost historically so, that, you know, probably put their line in a bad light. I think the line, we weren't talking about the line really being a big problem this last year. So obviously the injury in the playoffs, you know, to Cosme hurts. So they need to, you know, do something. But that's where I think you're right. They would probably funnel more of the resources there. Usually when you're building a team, mm-hmm, that's what you try to get squared away first. And then you think about adding the wide receiver as sort of the cherry on top of the sundae. And if you look at like Philadelphia, you know, they've kind of done that. They've had the lines and then they went and got an A.J. Brown, or even 20 years ago, they went and got a Terrell Owens, or even 2 or 3 years ago, they, 5 or 6, 7 years ago, they got to get the receiver from Chicago. What was his name?
Alshon Jeffrey, yeah.
Alshon Jeffrey, right? Mm-hmm. You add those pieces to a team that's already pretty good,
yeah,
right? As opposed to add those pieces and then go about building your team.
Right. I like the way you describe it. Sort of like a cherry on the top.
It
would be Washington's cherry this year, and also a foundational piece is if they could somehow, Mike, pry Myles Garrett away from Cleveland. Based on folks, mm-hmm, you talk to around the league, is Andrew Berry in that front office going to play hardball with Myles Garrett? Do you see this being something that drags into the new league year, maybe even almost the camp, or do we get a resolution here sooner rather than later?
I can see it dragging that long. Yeah, I can see it dragging that long. I mean, if you're an acquiring team, how much are you willing to give up? And then remember, you're going to pay him on a long-term deal, mm-hmm, for years 9, 10, 11, and 12, right?
Yeah.
So that's a consideration. Like, what would the price be? I'm also very interested in what Cleveland themselves do just to help the quarterback situation. I think that's part of the reason why people are a little antsy and restless in Cleveland, is that, man, it's just, they've been going nowhere at quarterback for so long that these guys see their careers sort of draining away. If they can resolve that, you know, get themselves a quarterback that makes it feel more viable, I mean, maybe they're in a better position to, you know, extend Myles Garrett. I guess we don't really know yet because the push has not come to shove to see who's how serious about what, right? Including what other teams might do, what another team might offer them.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fascinating. You continue to hear, you know, two in a young player in terms of what the cost of getting Garrett is going to be. I think he's worth it, Mike. I know the age is kind of a factor too. How much longer do you have with him? But when you think about the great athletes, no matter what sport that it is, that have went on and beat Father Time, so to speak, when I look at the build and work ethic and injury history of Myles Garrett, I think he's a safe bet to say, yeah, if he's maybe one of those guys.
Yeah, so I actually studied that recently and looked at there's a short list of guys, maybe about a dozen guys who, like him, have been an All-Pro at least four times in their fourth through eighth seasons of their careers, and we're not falling off. So it's all Hall of Famers, a bunch of guys. And really, Randy White, who was on the Cowboys, Reggie White, Eagles and Packers, those guys did a really great job of sustaining it. They kept remaining that, you know, that dominant force. Most of the others fell off quite a bit in years 9, 10, 11. They were still good in some cases, but not as truly dominant. So I think you know the Browns are, and you mentioned Andrew Berry, they're an analytical organization. Yeah. So they're going to be studying all of that, projecting all of that. They're going to have additional information that I don't have because they know all of his medicals and they know what his work ethic's like and all of that. So they can make a more fully informed decision. But, you know, don't forget, he's got 2 years left on his contract with no guaranteed money. So I think the contract motive here has to be part of this as well for him.
Yeah. Yeah, and I figured that to be the case, but he was pretty adamant about it, you know, out at Radio Row that, like, I want to win and I want to go to a team, where I can compete for a title, but money always
I believe that. You know, I believe that, but, you know, it's always about the money, too. He's not going to come out and say, hey, look, I only got 2 years left here. I need to make a big swing while I'm still perceived to be in my prime. He can never say that. Right. So, you know, but I would think that's part of it.
Joined right now on the Rude Guest Hotline by Mike Sando, who covers the Athletic. Excuse me, who covers the NFL for the Athletic. Give him a follow on the X app at Sando NFL. Two more for you here, rapid fire, Mike. Before we let you go, I appreciate you giving us some time. How do you see the Cooper Kupp situation playing out in LA with the Rams?
I have thought that this was just a prelude to him being released. I wouldn't think another team would want to acquire his contract. You know, I think these are difficult situations when you have kind of a franchise icon, a guy you've won a Super Bowl with. It's hard to have the really honest conversations about, you know, what the truth is here. The Rams aren't real excited about having him back at that number, right?
Yeah,
it was a little awkward when he put out on X, you know, his statement. It was a weirdly worded thing about how we've agreed to that they're going to look to trade me. I don't know. If the Rams aren't willing to take that contract right now, you know.
Who else is?
That's kind of how I see it ending.
Especially when you consider the Rams are right on the doorstep of being a Super Bowl team. Speaking of that, the Matt Stafford rumors, Mike, don't make a whole lot of sense because of that. I know it was reported earlier today by Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports that L.A. would be interested in listening to offers, but it starts with a first-round pick, obviously. And who is giving up that type of significant capital, Mike, for a quarterback that only maybe has two seasons left at most?
Well, somebody who's got to win in the next two seasons. And I think that's the difference between with the Rams and those other teams is the Rams are kind of made men. You know, like Sean McVay, Les Snead, these guys – aren't like worrying about their jobs. They've won the Super Bowl. They've shown they can win, and they've shown they can take big swings and they can hit home runs or they can strike out and they're not going anywhere. So I think they are the type of organization that can have these types of thoughts. Like, you know, we could run it back with Stafford, but we're kind of at this point where we do have a young defense and we kind of want to turn it and go a little bit younger. And we've shown an ability, you know, to win. They probably like Jimmy Garoppolo more than people would realize, right?
That's interesting.
Their affinity for him may be greater than, especially, the only thing that matters is what Sean McVay thinks on a team like that, right, for about the quarterback. So if McVay feels like, hey, you know what, I think we win this with this guy. If we can get we just drafted Jared Verse and some other guys who've hit, I'd run it back with Jimmy if we got a one. and we could get another player like that, I think we can win. That's the type of thing they can afford to think because their jobs aren't on the line every year. They can take a long-term look if they want to. And so they'd be wise to listen to a team that might make a short-term decision, right? And say, you know what?
For sure.
Like the Giants, I don't know if they're actually thinking this.
You segued us perfectly. I'll let that be the last thing, Mike, because I know you got to run. Like the Giants situation is fascinating. No way in hell, Mike, they gave up number 3 overall for Stafford.
Oh, no, I wouldn't think that.
I wouldn't think that either. So maybe we're talking a future first in their second rounder from this year. But how do you view that situation? John Mara was pretty, you know, gave them a vote of confidence. They didn't finish strong. Obviously, they've got, the number 3 overall pick. Doesn't seem like a situation where they have the time to develop their own franchise quarterback. How do you see that situation playing out?
Yeah, and that's an interesting thing because let's just say, what if Joe Shane could offer like a conditional one? But it's a one in the future, so if he loses his job, like the next GM has to worry about it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like you give up a future one, that's an interesting then component. The Rams know they're getting it, and Joe Shane's like, hey, I'm all in for this year anyway. If I lose next year's one, you know,
who cares,
I don't care if I'm not here. You know, now I don't know if ownership would let him do that, but I think the Giants are a weird situation where the owner clearly was conflicted. It's almost like he plugged his nose and stayed the course. You know, he's like, I realize it hasn't worked out. I don't like where we're at, but I'm not going to blow it up right now. It literally wasn't a ringing endorsement, so. You know, that does raise the possibility that you're going to be making some short-term decisions this offseason. We'll see if the owner allows that.
Yeah, that's going to be the fascinating thing up there in the Big Apple. Mike, I appreciate you as always. Wait, real quick. Who did you vote for MVP?
You know, I voted for Lamar Jackson. You know, I was real strong on Lamar for about the first two-thirds of the season. I thought it was like a no-brainer.
Right.
And then I thought Josh Allen did sort of close the gap. I felt like, Lamar started getting a little more help from his defense and that type of stuff. He didn't have that early. And I thought Josh Allen came on strong. But I just felt like, you know, Lamar, the whole body of work, just all the production. And then I thought for so much of the year, he was overcoming really bad defense. Even their kicker, who used to be money, was bad. Like, he was really carrying it, I thought. So who did you have? Did you have a preference?
Yeah, I thought Lamar, just because the numbers were kind of like historic in terms of rushing and passing. And, you know, the argument that people kept using is always got Derrick Henry. And I mean, I don't think the cast of weapons for Josh Allen and Buffalo is bad at all.
Also, you know, he's helping Derrick Henry as much as the other way around.
Right,
the backs
exactly.
who play with Lamar really, really benefit. I mean, we saw this a little bit with Saquon Barkley, too, to a lesser degree. But when the defense has to worry about the quarterback as a runner, even though Lamar didn't really run that much this year, he scrambled. But people have it so ingrained, like, that you've got to defend him as a runner. I think it totally helps Derrick Henry, probably more than Henry is helped by Lamar.
Look, that's why we're frustrated here in D.C.
Or the other way around.
Look, that's why we're frustrated here in D.C. We got a runner, and our running backs did not exceed those expectations, Mike. I appreciate you giving us some time, man. We'll catch up soon. Enjoy the offseason.
Hey, thank you. You too.
Big thank you to Diana Russini. Big thank you to our guy, Justin Mello. Big thank you to Mello Chris, as well as our guy, Mike Sando, who just joined us. It's going to do it here for this Monday night edition of Overtime. You can keep the conversation going with me on social media. It is at NELL_BTP.